ladies and gentlemen. It's 1:33 in the afternoon, and you are listening to King of the Ring Radio. King of the Ring Radio, where we take you out of the neutral corner and right smack dab into the middle of the combat sports arena. I'm your host, Jordan Betancourt. And on today's show, we have with us the former head coach of the Pierce College Brahma Bulls football team, current mathematics professor here at LA Pierce College, and a student at Millennium Pro Wrestling, Professor Efren Martinez. Professor, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
How you doing today?
Good. Fantastic, actually.
Cool. Why fantastic? Anything in particular?
No, I'm just always fantastic.
So always in a good mood. That's good. Gotta have that good attitude, especially dealing with these college kids. How long have you been a teacher here at Pierce?
I've been here since 2004.
2004?
So been doing kinesiology, football, mathematics, and now mostly mathematics now.
Is that what you started out teaching here at Pierce? Was math the first subject that you taught?
No, actually, I started off with football.
With football?
Football, yes.
And then from there, do you get to pick what you want to teach, or is...
Well, I've got a couple of masters in kinesiology and mathematics, so it opened the door.
Oh, cool.
To, hey, I could do math here also.
So you have two master's degree already.
Right.
Wow, that's impressive. Did you play football in college?
Yes, I did. Actually, junior college at Valley College.
Can I guess what position?
Yes.
Middle linebacker.
No, you know what? In high school, I played middle linebacker, but in college, I was too small for that, so I had to move to defensive back.
Defensive back. Oh, so you had some wheels, too. And you're teaching mathematics now, and any other classes here at Pierce?
Just math, the statistics that way class that we're teaching right now.
Cool. And from what I understand, you also teach classes at high school over in Grenada Hills at Jane Addams High School as well.
Yes, it's a continuation high school. It's an alternative ed for kids who had who fell behind on the regular campus, the comprehensive campus they call it, and so they're trying to catch up with units.
And then maybe go back to the regular
yes,
high school, or sometimes just graduate.
Go back. Really, the idea is catch up in units. Go back to the regular high school. Sometimes they enjoy it, and then they just stay, and then they just graduate there.
One of my best friends from high school, he just was like, "Why do I want to go back to school? I'm like regular school, I'll just go to this one." They called it Bridgepoint Continuation School.
That's exactly. It's the same concept, the same idea. Every high school has one. I never knew about it until 2 years ago when I was stuck. Not stuck. I just got there, and I was like, "Wow, this is a blessing in disguise."
So really able to help these kids out. Square them away.
Yeah, I'm able to help them out, and they're able to help me out, so it's a win-win situation.
Oh, that's cool. Well, now, which do you prefer? Do you prefer teaching the college students or the high school kids?
The college students. I just get, like, a certain type of energy that you just can't get anywhere else. You know, I'm always excited around campus. I like being here. For whatever reason, I don't get tired. You know, because I'm teaching all day.
You don't have to drink any coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee.
No coffee?
No.
Not at all. I just had a cup right now, and I'm feeling great.
No coffee.
Flip side to that is I'm horribly addicted. If I'm awake for 2 hours and haven't had a cup, splitting headache. Not good.
See, that's why I don't drink, because I don't want to be dependent on it.
Yeah. The Mormons are real big on that, but that's another topic for another show. And do you teach math over at the high school?
Yes, math. And actually, I do PE there also.
Oh, you do PE there, yeah. PE there as well.
PE they, and math.
They don't have a football. Do they have a football team there?
No.
They don't?
No football team. It's just not very many curricular activities. They just catch up,
just
go from there.
Just get it squared away. Then if you do good, you go back to the high school and you can go cheerlead or...
You do whatever, yeah.
Be on the debate team,
right.
Whatever you feel like. One last question about the high school. Common Core, the new method of teaching math. How do you feel about that? When I was going through school about 100 years ago, we didn't have that.
You did. It's all the same,
oh,
different name. That's really what it all comes down to. You know. And eventually, now that Trump is in president, they're going to change the name again. And then, it's crazy. It's like a big old wheel. You just keep going back to the same old thing, but just keep calling it different names. That's all it is.
So all of this outrage over it is pretty much just false outrage. It's not anything really changed from...
Well, what changes are the books. You know, you got to get these new books that are compliant with it, and you got to add pictures to it, and, you know, it's all a bunch of really nonsense. That's another topic.
That whole racket with the books. I mean, well, speaking of school, you currently go to school right now at Millennium Pro Wrestling School in, is it Moore Park?
Moore Park, yes.
It's located in. When did you start taking classes there?
You know what? One of my students here, and it's that way, A, he's a wrestler there.
Oh, really?
So I was doing a little presentation, and he saw my iPad, and it had one of the apps that my son, Daniel, downloaded, the WWE app. And so that he said, oh, WWE. And so he told me that he wrestles also. So he invited me. He said, come on over. I wrestle as, you know, the Hell Kid. That's his name.
His name is the Hell Kid?
That's his character name. So I went and with my son because he loved, you know, that wrestling.
Right.
And then so they were advertising lessons there. And I said, hey, how much are the lessons? And it was very reasonable. And my son has always been bugging me. I want to take lessons, Dad. So
how old is your son?
He is 14 years old right now.
14.
And so I went and, you know, started taking some classes. And it was very, very interesting.
Interesting. How so?
Very, very interesting. Just the, you know, it looks easy when you watch it on TV.
Just watch it on TV.
It just looks easy. But there's a lot more to it. There's like a science to it, you know. And when you're there training, you appreciate what these guys do a lot more. Just the science that they, you know, have to that they've gone through it. It's not easy, and it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. Not for the faint of heart. Not for people with a weak constitution.
You know, you just have to be a good entertainer. You have to be a good actor. You have to. It's just so many aspects that go into it that you have to have that a lot of people don't.
Right.
You know, so. A lot of people just don't have that. So you just have to be, it's like theater, you know, you're acting, you're creating a story. You have to have certain facial expressions. You have to be able to communicate, you know, all of that is not as easy as it sounds. You have to communicate with your, partner, you know, as far as what's the next move, what
so
are you going to do?
So you don't hurt each other.
Right. Well, right. And if,
And make it look legit.
Right. You don't want to look like an idiot. So you guys have to be on the same page.
Right.
You know, so you have to be on the same page. And it's just a lot more difficult than what it actually seems.
I try to get that across to people. Excuse me. I've never trained in pro wrestling myself, but I'm a huge, huge fan of the sport. And it's just, it's exactly like you said. It's just like theater, but it's like athletic theater. Vince McMahon coined the term sports entertainment, and it really fits. I mean, it's an art in and of itself, and just got to appreciate it.
It is really, really an art. And you really, you're telling a story, and you've got to be thinking on the fly. You know, people think that it's choreographed before, you know.
It's not.
It's not.
Very rarely.
There's certain things that are choreographed.
Certain spots, right?
Right. But as far as the whole match, I mean, you do it as you go. You know, and it comes to you, and you have to be at your best. You have to keep the crowd entertained. So I'll wrestle with my son at home, and then we'll just, you know, lose track of, or okay, what do we do next? You know, but these guys, they're just on it. They're on it. So there's just so much to it that's just amazing. It's incredible. You know, there has to be a good guy, there has to be a bad guy. You know, the good guy is the baby face, the bad guy they call the heel. So, you know, there has to be back and forth. Otherwise, the crowd is going to get bored. Just many, many little aspects of it that are really, really amazing.
Do you prefer to play the part of the baby face, the good guy, or do you prefer being in the role of a heel?
You know what? It's much easier to play the role of a heel because you could do a lot more. You know, you could be dirty. You cheat.
Talk
you could
bad about their
right, you
sports
could,
teams.
You could antagonize the crowd. You know, so in wrestling, I didn't learn this there, but I realized quickly that they either hate you or they love you. If you can do that, then you'll be successful in wrestling. If you're anywhere in between, you're never going to be anything. They have to love you. They have to hate you. Like, for example, a long time ago, Roddy Piper, he made a name for people hating him. You know, people want to pay him get beat. You know, Ric Flair, the same thing. He's such a arrogant guy, and people always wanted to come and see him get beat. You know, that's why he was successful for so long. But if you're anywhere in between, it's not for you.
You're going to be at the bottom of the card for your whole life.
It's not for you. So either they hate you or they love you.
And that must be why it's easier to play the heel, because to get someone to like generally like, wow, I like this guy, I want to root for him, that's tough. Even The Rock, when he debuted in the WWF, it was not a very strong debut for him. The crowd would boo him. They'd chant, Rocky sucks. And he was just like this generic babyface heel. And it wasn't until he started getting an attitude and developed the character of The Rock, then like they really hated him. But then, like you said, they cared about him. And it almost flipped where they hated him. He was so good at making them hate him that they liked him. But they still cared.
Yeah, you know what? He came out as a babyface, as the son of Rocky Johnson, and so they were trying to hype all that up, but it just wasn't working for the crowd.
No.
He asked Vince McMahon, you know, what do I do? He said, well, just go along with it, you know, as far as the crowd. And then that's how he became that Rock, you know, that. But see, the thing with him is that he is so. So if you look at wrestling now, the most successful wrestlers that you're going to see are the ones who could perform not in the ring, but who can perform on the microphone. And so if you look at The Rock, there was no one like him.
Nobody.
If you look at Stone Cold Steve Austin, those guys could work the mic. So if you look at Brock Lesnar right now, Brock Lesnar has no mic skills. So what does WWE do?
Paul Heyman.
Right, they give him a manager and let him do all the talking. You know, let that guy do the wrestling, but let Paul Heyman do all the talking. And that seems to be working for them.
Do they teach that, speaking of managers, do they teach that at Millennium Pro Wrestling as well? Being a manager or perhaps an announcer, do they have classes for that as well?
No, all that is just the wrestling aspect of it. You know, the managing. Actually, you know what? So it's just the wrestling aspect of it. But part of that is you being a referee also. So they teach you how to become a referee so that you could communicate with the ref and with the wrestlers. And from that, you could learn about managing also and how to, you know, the mic and all that. But they don't really teach that per se.
Would that be something you'd be interested in, perhaps being a manager? Your gimmick could be you're the professor or the coach or something like that.
Actually, I never thought about that. You know, I never thought about that. Right now, my big focus is my son, and he's really enjoying it.
He wants to do this, like, for a living. He wants to be Kenny Omega. He wants to be AJ Styles.
Yeah, he's really, you know, into it. And I'm not going to sit here and say, no, I mean, if you love it, then do it.
Do it.
Just do it. You know,
anything's better than being apathetic about the world.
Right, right. So, hey, you know what? You have an opportunity. But, you know, you always tell them, hey, this will be your second option.
Better get good grades.
Yeah, get go to school, get your grades, and you know, because not very many people make it.
No.
So, and there's a lot of talent out there. You know, it's amazing because we go to all these little indie events, and he found them too, by the way. You know, because we'd go to some WWF events, and then he'd look up some indies wrestling, and turns out that there's some out here in Southern California. He started going, and you see those people there, and they're amazing. You know, just because they're not on TV, you know, doesn't mean that these people can't. Many of these people choose not to be on television
WWE.
Because they don't want that restriction.
Right.
Yeah.
They'd have to adhere to exactly what Vince McMahon wanted them to be. They'd have no control over that. But on the independent scene, they can work what dates they want, and they can just be themselves. They wouldn't have to dress up as Doink the Clown if that's what Vince told them to do, you know?
That is correct.
So what does a typical class consist of? Like, you get there, what time does it kick off? Do they have to do warm-ups?
Right now, you know what? By the way, it's Millennium Pro Wrestling, and it's out in Moore Park. You guys can look them up.
Millennium Pro Wrestling, Moore Park, California.
If anybody's interested in going, right now the classes for my son, the classes are on Saturday from 10:30 to 12:30. They also have Sunday classes and classes during the week where the majority of the wrestlers train. During Saturday, you know, you get most of the newer people, like, you know, my son.
Right.
That's when he goes. So it's 2 hours, and then it's different every week. You know, when we first got there, we worked on locking up. You know, when you first lock up, and then they call it the
collar and elbow tie-up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then after that, it's like a chain.
The chain length, wrestling.
Right, chain wrestling.
Going to wrist locks.
You go from what, right, and how do you go, and then.
How's the logical progression?
Right. How you counter this move, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which, I, you know.
Way more involved than you would initially think, just looking at it on TV.
Right, it really is. Everything, they said, you're working with the left hand. You're
working with the left hand?
Like, for example, once you lock up and you, say you get a guy in a headlock, right? And you're supposed to be doing a pose when you have his headlock. You know, you got to try to look good. Or say, you know, you lock up, and if you twist a guy's arm, well, you're always going to his left arm. You're always working that left arm. Everything is left. In wrestling, you know.
It's always left.
It's always left. So,
if you look
at it,
that.
Right, you don't. So if you look at it, you know, when they're trying to, when they're working on a guy's arm and they're banging his arm, it's usually the left arm, you know.
Is there a reason for that?
I was thinking about it right now. I don't know. We have to
ask
that.
Is that a secret? Like, you know, and you just can't say? No. Too much of business?
No, you know what? I don't know. I think we asked, but, you know, they gave their reason for it. It's just so that everybody will be on the same page and everybody knows exactly, you know.
Just the standard operating procedure in this sport.
Right. Right.
What is the toughest aspect of training?
You know what? Like taking bumps.
Taking bumps.
Because it's not soft. It's really not. You have to know how to take bumps. For the very first time, you know, you get sore. They teach you how to protect your neck, how to protect your head, how to land properly. There's a lot of sores, you know, that you're going to get. A lot of pain because of it. So taking those bumps, I mean, that's always the toughest part of it.
Have you suffered any injuries thus far from wrestling training?
No, usually, you know, you feel pretty beat up the next day, but then, you know, gradually you...
You're hurt but not injured,
right,
like they say in football.
Right. Haven't wrestled yet, though, so it's... haven't had the opportunity to really get injured.
Would you like, is that the goal, to have a match at one of the shows?
You know what, I thought about it, and I thought it'd be nice if I could do it with my son, just as a one and only match.
Right.
You know, so, but I don't know, we'd have to see about that. That's way down in the future.
But maybe like a year and a half from now.
Well, about a year from now, you know, because you train, because they're not going to, if you're going to make an ass out of yourself, they're not going to put
you
up there on stage.
Right.
Well, they're not going to let you go on stage. You know, you could train, but you got to get better. You got to get better.
They have to trust you and feel that you can put on a legitimate-looking match. You know, it doesn't have to be a five-star classic, but just something that's, like, that's solid.
Yeah, what you have to do first is referee. They'll let you ref a match.
That sounds like fun.
You know, so you go, you referee, and then... So you build up confidence that way, too. You're learning, you're watching... you know who's going to win beforehand and who's not going to win, et cetera, et cetera. So you learned that way.
Head over to the sports book in Vegas, put in some money if you already know.
Yeah.
What would you say is the most enjoyable aspect of training?
You know what? Just hanging out with my son.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, and just, really just cool. Imagining, because he really gets a kick out of it, you know. And for me, actually, to be honest with you, it comes easy. Because I've been around athletics. Everything helps, by the way. Playing football, playing basketball, because you use all of that in there. You use your athleticism. But I'm able to mimic things pretty well. So if I see a person walking and he has an odd-shaped walk, I could mimic that walk
pretty easily.
Good. Right? Pretty good. And so I'm able to mimic things right? So I'm able to do a lot of the things just in wrestling.
Just from your athletic background.
Right, and memory, you know, because you've seen wrestling so much, you know. So that combination is pretty good.
So there are a lot of similarities between wrestling and football. Which would you say is physically more demanding?
You know what? Wrestling, it's different because in football, you know, you have your spurts.
You got about 12 seconds, just intense.
Right. Well, you have it's about a seven, on average, every play seven is about seconds. 7 seconds. And then you have about a, you know, 20-second rest. 7 seconds, 20-second rest. And that goes on for about an hour. But in wrestling, it's continuous. You take a rest when you start antagonizing the crowd or when you toss the guy out of the ring, and then you guys are taking a breather. But it gets pretty intense. It gets pretty hot, you know, in those arenas. And so that's why you see a lot of these people sweating, you know, profusely. They're different, intense, in their separate ways, you know. So I wouldn't say one is more intense than the other.
So it's apples and oranges.
Right.
Who were some of your favorite pro wrestlers growing up?
Growing up, I loved Hulk Hogan. He, you know,
me too.
During the 80s, he was the guy. I saw this masked wrestler at the time that I thought was really, really cool. Mil Máscaras was his name. Because I remember growing up, you know, someone tried to take off his mask, and then he had another mask underneath. You know, and then they took up that mask, and he had another mask underneath. So hence the name Mil. Mil meaning a thousand masks. The name translates to man of a thousand masks.
Man of a thousand masks.
Yeah. So he was. That was pretty cool.
How about of today? Today's era. Who are some of your favorites?
You know, I like Daniel Bryan just because he's the underdog. You always like to root for the underdog, but then he got injured and retired. I've noticed that nowadays there's a lot of injuries in wrestling now. Maybe it was back then. I was just too young back then to realize who was injured or who wasn't. Like Hulk Hogan never got injured. No. I don't remember him getting injured that way.
Only time he would go away is when they had like the steroid scandal, and then they'd have to take him off TV.
So
I think a lot of that with the concussions is just the fact that they're a publicly traded company now, so they can't risk having these guys, you know, grow up to have CTE and then the stockholders gonna be like, well, what the heck? What are we investing in now? So they got to do stuff like Daniel Bryan. Like they had to give him that ultimatum: like you could stay with us and you could be an on-air TV guy, but you can't wrestle anymore. And even though that guy badly wants to wrestle again.
Yeah, he does, and I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back again.
Him. Yeah, maybe he will leave the WWE and go to Japan or go to ROH, something like that.
I think he's taken care of though. He's not gonna. He won't. You know what I mean? I think the WWE is paying him enough money to stick around.
Oh, definitely not the money. I think this guy just really, really loves the sport of pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. You know, there's no doubt. I see that when I go see the indie wrestling. You know, you see these people, and, man, they're amazing.
Were you able to attend the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show recently?
Not the latest one. The one prior to that, I was.
It was in late April, early May,
I think
was
it? Was in April, yeah, in
what,
April.
What was that like? Because I have never been myself. But if those who don't know, I would have to say that the PWG ticket is maybe the second most sought-after ticket after WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know what?
In all of pro wrestling.
It was amazing. And it's because it's such a small venue. But the wrestling was incredible. The wrestling is no different than it's even better than what you see in the WWF because they don't have the restrictions that the WWE has.
Right.
But there's some phenomenal wrestlers there. There's some people there that I think the WWE has tried to sign and they've, you know, said no. Like, for example,
the Young Bucks.
I mean, those guys are amazing. And I told that to my son. I'm like, man, these guys are part of the best tag team that I've seen as far as entertaining, keeping the crowd into it. They just know how to entertain the crowd, you know. So they're amazing. And they're just a bunch of incredible wrestlers there.
And they just got a deal with Hot Topic to have their merchandise in stores across the country. Them and Kenny Omega, you're going to start to see Young Bucks shirt.
Yeah, that's
like a Hot Topic in the mall.
Right, that's what my son was telling me. And again, they're just marketing themselves. And the guys are just, they're funny, they're hysterical, they're athletic. It's just amazing.
And it's like they're their own boss.
Right.
You got to respect that.
See, that's the thing. They said that for what the WWE was going to sign us for, we make that exact same money doing what we do right now.
So what's the point?
Right.
Were you able to watch Backlash last night?
Actually, I missed it.
You missed it. Well, you missed, speaking of staying safe, Randy Orton had maybe like the botch of the year. He lost the belt, by the way, to Jinder. Oh, sorry, I spoiled it for you.
No, my son told me about it.
He already told you. And one of the Singh brothers, well, he was fighting both of the Singh brothers on the outside, did a backdrop on the announce table to the first, and then to the second one, dropped him right on his head. And he even like looked at the camera like, with this horrible, like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? And it's like a meme all across the internet.
Really? Wow. Well, you know what? I think WWE is trying to do something with India right now, so they're putting the belt on
Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal, yeah, yeah.
That's a great idea.
It's my son, he knows that before the stuff ever happens, you know, well, this is what they're doing.
It's like, why even watch? If
you no, but you still want to see it. Right. You know, so they're trying to do something with India, trying to promote something with India. So the best way to do it is to put the belt on, you know, one of their very own, you know. So, but that's cool. I think they're trying to brand it worldwide. So
hopefully one day Daniel will take the belt from Jinder Mahal, maybe 10 years from now. Efren, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for coming. For KPCRadio.com, I'm Jordan Betancourt signing off.